Today we celebrate the Passion of St. John the Baptist. And there's another feast day that talks about the actual death of St. John the Baptist by beheading. But especially today on the Passion, what's important for us to remember is that all of us, if we seek to follow God in our lives, will experience a passion in some way, shape, or form. It comes in different ways. What essentially the Passion is the way that we experience some type of persecution or some type of suffering. Sometimes it can be more of a physical one, in the sense that St. John the Baptist was imprisoned and had various ways that in that imprisonment, that was especially his passion, that way that he suffered for God and for the church. But there can be other ways that sometimes there can be less of a physical, but more of an emotional. So sometimes the passion comes in the ways that we experience someone who makes fun of us for the faith, someone who can put us down, or some ways that especially in the world of social media, that we can post something that is faith-based or scripture-based, and someone seems to react strong to it in different ways. Sometimes that can be a way in the emotional sense that there's a passion. There's another way that oftentimes we don't think of passion, but in the spiritual sense. I've often wondered what it was like spiritually for St. John the Baptist when he was imprisoned. Perhaps he had days when he fought with thoughts of thinking that God had imprisoned him, that why was he imprisoned if he had done these good things for God? We don't always know of what is that spiritual passion and the ways that the enemy messes with someone in our thoughts. And so sometimes when we experience that in our lives as well, we wonder what's going on. There can be that spiritual passion, again, the ways that we fight against certain thoughts or certain temptations, certain vices that we have in our lives in different ways. So today, let us take courage from the example of the Passion of St. John the Baptist and the other martyrs of the church as well. There's this notion sometimes that is what is called the prosperity gospel, which I hate because it's very against what is the true gospel. The prosperity gospel is that if you do what God is asking you to do, everything will be peachy king dandy and you'll have no suffering, pain, etc. Whenever people talk about a prosperity gospel, I like to point to a crucifix and to say, well, I believe he did everything right, and he certainly experienced pain and suffering. If we're truly doing what God is asking us to do, there will be places of pain and suffering, but that is the prosperity. That is what helps prepare our minds and hearts for someday being with our Lord in eternal life. And that we don't always experience, perhaps, all of the prosperity and blessings maybe we would like in this life, but it's only because of the ways that God wants to prepare us for an even better blessing and to be truly prosperous in eternal life.